behalf of Ruth and their entire family, I want to thank you for joining us today as we honor and celebrate the life of Vic Parker. Vic was an incredible husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and friend. More significant, though, than the roles that Vic filled in our lives, Vic had a deep and unshakable, radiant faith in Jesus Christ. So regardless of the capacity in which you knew Vic, it was impossible to be around him and not see his deep and genuine love for the Lord. It was his love for the Lord that made him such a lovable and remarkable man. It was also Vic's faith in Jesus, which has now become sight, which makes this gathering one of hope as we anticipate a future reunion with Vic in the presence of the Lord someday for all eternity. Today's brief time together is an opportunity for us to gather and to try and capture the full picture and impact of Vic's life. But as you know, at 91 years of age, at the time of his passing, it's simply impossible for us to truly capture it all in our brief time together. Even if we had several days to be together, the influence of Vic's life and the love that he had for others, which is what draws each of us here today, is too big, it's too grand to capture it all. But more important than what may be shared here today are the special memories of Vic, treasured moments that have and forever will impact our lives that we carry with us from this day forward. Our time together today also affords us the opportunity to support Vic's family as they begin to walk this new path together in the wake of Vic's homegoing to the Lord earlier this year, particularly you, Ruth, who enjoyed 72 years of incredible marriage together. Most importantly, however, our gathering is an opportunity for us to celebrate the gift of eternal life available to all of those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, a gift that Vic personally knew as his own. And because of this great promise of eternal life, our remembrance of Vic's life today is one of celebration, even in the midst of our grief, because we are confident that Vic is fully at peace now in the presence of the Lord. Please join me in prayer, if you will. Father, we find comfort in the promise of Jesus found in John chapter 14, promising us that he has gone to prepare a place for us, that he might receive us someday unto himself. And so, Father, we believe that Vic, because of his strong faith in Christ, has now traded the mortal for the immortal, experiencing even at this very moment the glorious and eternal life which you have promised us through Jesus Christ. And so we are comforted to know that now at this very moment, Vic is with you, and so also you, by your Spirit, are here with us today as we remember him and as we celebrate his life and his faith in you. And so we ask for your comforting presence, your nearness to us as we celebrate and remember Vic's life, a life that was well lived for you, a life that was marked by you. It was all for you, and it is our honor to remember him today. And so we ask that you would be near to us now in our time together. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the family shared with me that one of their favorite memories was they used to like to sing together in the car, and two of their favorite songs were the songs Side by Side and Daddy Sang Bass. Ruth also shared that Vic and Ruth's love song as sweethearts was a song called For Sentimental Reasons. And so as you enjoy this brief slideshow, this video of Vic's life in pictures, just enjoy these favorite songs as their family takes a stroll down memory lane together.
I remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were bad. But there's a silver lining behind every cloud. Just poor people, that's all we were, trying to make a living out of black land dirt. But we'd get together in a family circle singing loud. Daddy sang bass.
Mama sang tenor.
Me and little brother would join right in there.
Singing seems to help a troubled soul. One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken. By and by, Lord, by and by. Daddy
sing bass.
Mama sing tenor.
Me and little brother would join right in there.
In the sky, Lord, in the sky. Now I remember after work, Mama would call in all of us. You could hear us singing for a country mile. Now little brother has done gone on, but I'll rejoin him in a song. We'll be together again up yonder in a little while. Daddy will sing bass.
Mama sing tenor.
Me and little brother will join right in there.
Cause singing seems to help a troubled soul. One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. Oh no, the circle won't be broken. By and by, Lord, by and by. Daddy'll sing bass.
Mama sing tenor.
Me and little brother will join right in there.
In the sky, Lord, in the sky. In the sky, Lord, in the sky.
No, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel along singing a song side by side. Trouble and sorrow, but we'll travel the road, sharing our love side by side. Through all kinds of weather, what if the sky should fall? Just as long as we're together, it doesn't matter at all. Well, they've all had the quarrels and the heartache.
Alone were meant for me. please give your loving heart to me and say we'll never part. I think of you every morning, dream of you every night. Darling, I'm never lonely. Whenever you are inside, I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I've given you my heart.
Special memories. Sad to say, that's the first time I've ever heard any of those songs. Must be oldie, oldie but goodies. At this time, we are going to have a few of the family members come up and share, beginning with Wayne.
First portion I'm going to read is from my dad, Robert Parker. Love you, Dad. When growing up, I couldn't wait till Dad got home from work so we could play catch, whether football or baseball. Then there was a very special afternoon, a pickup game of hoops with Dad, Uncle Pat, and a bunch of neighborhood buddies. Good times. The other best times were the precious few vacations as a family or a group of friends in the White Mountains and mountaintops, more good times. Dad brought us joy, made us laugh, and showed us love. He has given us the lasting gifts of a beautiful life and treasured memories. Dad, you are loved and missed. Thank you, your son, Robert. I wrote something as well about my grandpa. I love my grandpa very much. Between that big, beautiful smile, that childlike playfulness and appreciation for life, and all the great storytelling. In his deep baritone voice, there was so much to appreciate and to learn from. The work ethic he passed down through the family for generations has helped me succeed in my own life. I'm thankful for all those early morning tea times and an hour spent on the golf course with cousin Chris, grandma, and grandpa. I always remember asking grandpa how it felt to be retired and have a tea time every day at 5:30. And he just looked up and kind of did an easy swing and said, "It's good. It's real good." And then in that quintessential addition of his, he always added that affirming, yeah. That made me so happy for him and also instilled into me, I got to work hard and try to retire someday. The biggest noticing I'd like to share, though, about Grandpa was so impressive to me. It's a lesson that I gained from Grandpa after a life containing its fair share of trials. Through some struggles and suffering in childhood, through grinding it out as a really hard job as an iron worker, and the challenges he faced toward the end of life, which did not turn him negative, but they seemed to move him closer to God, closer to peace and understanding. Somewhere along the way, it seemed that he just grasped and learned that our suffering can also be our awakening. The times that I got to share in that journey with him left me with many great memories of game nights and free taco runs after the Diamondbacks won a game. And of course, great grandpa stories. Grandpa was kind of a legend in my eyes because of his stories. Stories about him fighting off one bully and then every bully from all the surrounding counties that came to try to get a piece of grandpa and went home with their head hanging. I remember a story of him sticking up for minorities in a time and a region of the country where many others were oppressing them. A man who had to once stick up for himself on the top of a pile of logs as a sawyer, another logging sawyer, started a scuffle with him, a scuffle that started at the top and went all the way down to the bottom of those logs. The greatest story of all that I remember is when he and Grandma, in their Sunday best, eloped to another county. A story representing a beautiful lifelong relationship, one where you could always feel and see the love and adorance between them. Grandma's strength to take care of Grandpa in the end is inspiring, and Grandpa in his last years, months and weeks, teaching us all through his attitude and acceptance that in the face of adversity and when everything seems to be falling down around you, you can still just walk closer and closer to God. Thank you, Grandpa, for all the memories, lessons, and love. I miss you.
Hello? I didn't come prepared. I'm not a preparer like most others in my family are. But you'll hear, Grandpa, he loved to tell stories. I thought I'd do better than this. He loved to tell stories. He was a wonderful storyteller. And thinking about all the different stories I could share with Grandpa, I couldn't think of one that would summarize all the memories I have of him, the wonderful memories. So to honor Grandpa, I thought I'd tell a story about me that will be relevant at the end. It won't be relevant in the beginning. but you'll see at the end why I'm sharing this. And it's going to embarrass me, and it's going to sound a little foolish, but I think you all get the point. Yeah. Some people know the story, most people don't. I was a senior in high school. I had my first girlfriend, and we were driving in the car down Speedway, and this is close to the end of the year. I was going to graduate. I had a college scholarship, and I knew I was leaving town, and we had had, I think, ice cream, and I was taking her home. And you know when you've been around somebody a while and they act a little different, and you, what's going on? And so I asked her while I was driving. Nothing. I said, no, I can tell something. What's up? And she goes, well, I love you. I'm 18 years old. I stopped, didn't know how to answer the question, kept driving. Silence. She kind of looked at me. I could feel her eyes burning the side of my head, and I kind of looked at her, and she's like, well, and I was like, She goes, well, I knew I shouldn't have said anything. I said, hold on. And I pulled over, and I said, well, wait a second. Because I knew what she wanted me to say. And I said, she goes, well, do you love me? And I said, well, there's different kinds of love. And I said, I love my family. And I said, I love my car. And I said, I love my dog. And I love playing football. And she goes, Ann, and I said, I think you fall somewhere between my dog and my car. Needless to say, that relationship didn't last long after that. But I was 18, and I didn't know how to respond. I knew I didn't love her the way she intended. But I share that story because with Grandpa, you didn't have to ask. You knew you were loved. You knew you were at the top of the list. You knew you were a priority. From all the time spent, all the golf, all the projects, all the stories, all the recaffeinated coffee. I'll share this. Grandpa loved coffee. Oh, did he love coffee. And he had this coffee machine that is like a little coffee spout. You just put your cup under it and pour you a fresh cup. And I came over one afternoon, and he offered me a cup of coffee. I said, love a cup of coffee. And he took his cup of coffee, and he walked over to the coffee pot, and he opened up the lid, and he poured his coffee in it. And then he grabbed his cup and poured himself a cup from it, and then poured me a cup. And I stopped, and I looked at him, and I said, am I drinking your old coffee? And he had this look on his face, and like he had never thought that there was anything odd about offering other people recaffeinated, recycled coffee. And from that moment on, whenever I came over and he offered me coffee, I'd say, is it fresh or is it recycled or is it recaffeinated? But my point in sharing the love story is that at 18, in that instance, I knew what she was asking me to say. And I knew that that wasn't what that was. But with Grandpa, for anyone in this room that knew him, you knew you were loved. You knew you're at the top of the list. God was number one, and his family, Grandma and his family, were number two. He never denied you. You were always included. You were loved. And that's how I will remember Grandpa. That's all I got to say. I love you, Grandma. Do I need to speak for you?
No.
I wasn't going to say anything because I was, didn't think I could get through the thing. I got so many stories. Ones I heard from other people, ones I've had myself. My favorite story, I don't think I should tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyways. I used to play dominoes. My wife and I, we got married, still pretty young. I was early 30s. She was still like 26, 27. You know, our wild nights out, we're, let's go to Grandma and Grandpa's, play dominoes. So that's what we did. And we go almost for a while there every weekend. We played dominoes. I was sitting there playing one night, summertime, so we wore flip-flops, and my wife and I took her shoes off, and she's kind of looking at me funny, and I'm like, what's up? She's like, what are you playing my feet for? I'm like, that's not me. I look over at Grandpa, and he's just like, I'm like, quit playing these with my wife. Play your footsies with your wife. She's right there. And I'll always remember those games. And I always feel bad for Robert because he always lost. And so when we started playing, I know. But for somehow you always got the double blank. I don't understand. So when we play now, I always tell that story. Danielle tells that story. And whoever's losing, I'm like, hey, it's the new Robert. But he's probably the best man I've ever known. Probably ever will. The only man alive to this day that can call me Lancy Poo. 48 years old, and I don't know if I called him right now. He's like, hey, Lancy Poo. Ever since I was brand new. Yeah, I think keep the rest of myself.
I don't know, those boys are a tough act to follow. But I wanted to share some of the little girl thoughts. My dad was a handsome, gentle man with the best smile. He rarely had an unkind word for anyone and made friends easily. He could run to the store and strike up a conversation with the person next in line, and he would make a new friend and come out knowing their life story. Dad was our hero. He loved taking care of Mom and us kids. Mom shared that when we were babies and it was time for those middle-of-the-night feedings, Dad's feet hit the floor first. He was right there beside Mom every night taking care of us. In fact, when Lance was born, we were staying with Pam and Daryl in San Diego, and Dad heard Lance crying for his middle-of-the-night feeding, and Dad's feet hit the floor, and Mom had to stop him and remind him, get back to bed. Pam's got this. We could count on him in those special emergencies, like the time Pam fell in the cactus, and she only wanted Dad to take out those thorns. On another occasion, when I was 4 or 5, I had an unfortunate accident with bare feet and a broken glass that resulted in 36 stitches in my little foot. Mom called Dad, he rushed home from work and took me to the doctor, and he held my hand as he watched the doctor sew his little girl's foot together. That must have been hard. Being a mom and a grandma, he was pretty brave to watch that. And there were occasions, I love my dad. I was a daddy's girl, and sometimes there wasn't work in Tucson, and he would have to travel. And on this one occasion, I just was crying and crying and crying, and so he didn't leave. He waited until I went to bed that night, until he left. Dad did have a strong work ethic and was selfless when it came to supporting the family. He had to get up at the crack of dawn so many times to just get to work. In fact, there was a time, because Bob was an iron worker too, that their job actually was on the other side of Phoenix, and they made that round trip every single day. Whatever it took to support the family, he never complained. As Chris said, coffee. My dad loved coffee. And I remember when I was a little girl, he would take a swig of hot coffee, and just like the old Andy Griffith Sanko commercial, he'd say, with a wink and a smile of satisfaction, that's good coffee. And he always knew how to get a fresh pot brewing, because he'd say, Paula, you make the best coffee. Why don't you go make us a pot? Well, it worked every time. I would run into the kitchen and make him a fresh pot. In the last year of his life, speaking became a chore, and it did. So Dad became a man of few words, but I remember asking him just a few weeks before he passed if he wanted a cup of coffee. And I instantly got the thumbs up, and as clear as day, he said, coffee. He could always ask for a cup of coffee. And I said, would you like a donut?
Two.
So... as you saw in the pictures, our family enjoyed camping trips to the White Mountains. And I remember one morning Dad taking all of us kids down to the river to wash up. And Dad led the way. And he walked to the edge of the river. He bent down, scooped up a big handful of water, and splashed his face. You could hear his shriek all the way back to camp. That water was ice cold, and we all had a good laugh, and there was no way us kids were going to follow that. I'll skip the fishing part. With Mom and Dad and I, we went fishing, and Mom and I caught a lot of fish. Dad didn't. He was too busy baiting our hook. Mom and Dad lived in California for a number of years, and we have so many fond memories of our family visits there, trips to the Strawberry Patch, 4th of July fireworks off the pier in Pismo Beach, and sightseeing in Morro Bay. And I don't know if Erica remembers this, but when she was little, Grandpa took Erica and Chris to the beach so Mom and I could just visit. And they weren't gone very long. Pretty soon they came through the door, and I guess Erica got close to the water's edge, and a wave knocked her over. She was wet and muddy and sandy and not happy. So that ended that time. We also remember Dad, and I think there was a picture of it, him baiting the hook. But in California, there was, where they lived, there was a little trout farm. And the trout were just, you could almost see them jumping onto the hooks. And so Dad was busy baiting the kids' hooks, and they caught a lot of fish. And when they cleaned them, actually there were some fish eggs inside a couple of them. And Dad was like an extra bonus because he was going to have those fish eggs the next morning with his breakfast. And Chris, as he said, gross. But he loved it, every bite. Another special memory I have is singing in the choir with Dad. Wednesday nights were special, walking into the choir room and seeing Dad sitting in the bass section. So handsome. One of my favorite pictures with Dad is him and I at Festival of Carols. He was so handsome in his tux. And speaking of choir, it was one night after choir, he was going to give Stephanie a ride home. And they walk out into the parking lot, and he couldn't find his truck. And he says, "Fiddlesticks, Stephanie, someone took my truck." Oh, Dad, what a gentleman. You were a sweetheart. Dad always supported us kids, whether it was coaching a softball team with my brother Bob, going to dog shows to support my sister Pam, or traveling to Missouri where I made a recording, or bowling on the Monday night church league with Steve, or going to watch the grandkids play soccer, softball, football, or signing them up for junior golf. The way he whooped and hollered, you would have thought they were playing pro ball. He loved to cheer us all on, in good times and in bad. Through thick and thin, he was always there to support us. We could count on Dad. My most cherished and meaningful memory of all, though, was witnessing his faithful walk with the Lord. It was not uncommon to go for a visit, and he would have his Bible in his lap or on the table next to him. He loved the Lord, and his commitment to the Lord was an inspiration. His life was good. He finished well. He didn't want to leave Mom, but she knew it was coming soon. In those last few days, he was very affectionate, holding hands and wanting a smooch, trying in his own way to get his final goodbyes in. His breathing was labored but very peaceful those final hours. We believe he was at rest and ready to be with his Lord. I want to thank my mom for her strength, her love and dedication to my dad. She chose to keep him home. And it was such a blessing and privilege for all of us to come alongside her and support her as she cared for Dad at home. I love you, Daddy. I miss you.
Thank you, guys. At this time, we're going to stand together and sing a couple of Vic's favorite songs. I think the lyrics are in your service bulletin if you want to stand and join us as we sing those.
Just as I am. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting.
Just as